Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, promising that Charlottesville was just the beginning, groups committed to anarchy seem to think that their time has now come. Unfortunately, when people shove aside moral truth and respect for God and others, this contagion of selfish short-term thinking spreads like a deadly virus. Now the developing demonization of all war heroes of the South who fought for and with the former Confederacy is taking on a dangerous, diabolical rewriting of history and a wanton destruction of property, as we saw last night in Durham, North Carolina. And we're going to talk about this attack, but more importantly, we're going to talk about the danger of attacking the person of such leaders, such as General Robert E. Lee. Now, we're also going to bring in segment two, we're going to bring in former FBI agent and an expert on domestic terrorism, John Guandalo, president of Understanding the Threat, to define and arrange the players for us on the stage in Charlottesville, who they were, what they were doing, what their strategy is, and we're going to tie into that the Council on American and Islamic Relations and how they may or may not be connected in this unfolding era of lawlessness. Then the third segment, we're going to switch gears to a little softer subject, and we're going to give an update on Obamacare. Now that Congress failed to repeal the law and to go home, we're going to ask the question of what next. And because this issue, even though it's getting overshadowed by the other events, is a real one that all of us listening to this program today are affected by, and we see it in our pocketbooks, we see it elsewhere. We're going to talk with Michael Gardner of MediShare, who's going to be with us for that one segment, giving us a very critical update and a good solution that exists for, well, actually, probably most listening to this program today. So these things and more today on Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr, and I'm going to be joined by Dave Kistler and our first special guest here in segment one, Dave's twin brother, historian and teacher, Dan Kistler. Dan, welcome to the program today.
Well, great to be with you, Sam. Dave, listen to you as often as I can, and it's my privilege to be with you today.
Well, we're glad that you're here because Dave and I were talking yesterday after the program, and we thought, probably nobody better than you to give us a perspective here, and particularly with what happened last night in North Carolina when protesters gathered in front of the courthouse in Durham, threw a rope around a Confederate war hero statue, and pulled it to the ground. The governor did come out and speak against this wanton destruction of property. And that's bad enough that there's that kind of thing happening. But Dan, I'm concerned, and we're concerned a little bit, that in the midst, you got people here trying to rewrite history, and in some cases, attempting to put a very evil shroud around some very good patriot leaders of the past. And I think there's some real damage and harm in doing that. So I thought, why don't you share with us a little bit about some of these Confederate heroes, what you see as a really potential problem if this continues as it is, and because Charlottesville actually kind of surrounded the whole personage of General Robert E. Lee, you may want to start there with that fella, but go where you want to go on that for a few minutes, if you would.
Well, you know, Sam, Dave, as I was watching all this play out, I was actually in South Carolina, down in Charleston, whenever I first saw the stories about what was going on, you know, in Charlottesville. And, of course, South Carolina, you know, is the first state to secede from the Union, you know, and started the Civil War. But as I was watching all that, the thing that hit me as a history teacher is this. You know, people may disagree with Robert E. Lee on, you know, certain issues, you know, and so forth. But my point I wanted to make today, and I thought about as I watched this play out on Saturday, is what the majority of American people are not aware of or ignoring or something is the godly character of General Lee. I commented to Dave last night, we were on the phone, and I commented about a letter that he wrote to his daughter, detailing in great detail the struggle he went through when Virginia joined the Confederacy and of course left the Union, the struggle he went through as a federal officer, whether he was going to stay, you know, with the Union or whether he was going to defend his state of Virginia. And he wrote his daughter an amazing letter. I do not have it right in front of me, but the gist of it is the struggle and the prayer and everything that, that he went into to make the decision that he finally made, of course, to defend his state of Virginia and be part of the Confederacy. He had to give up a federal officer's position in order to do that. You guys are very well aware, I hope most Americans are, that Arlington Cemetery, and there in right outside of D.C., was Robert E. Lee's home. And, of course, the Union buried soldiers there, knowing that if they did that, Lee would never return, you know, back there to his home. And sure enough, he did. The home there at the top of the hill is actually his house. And you can actually go through that. I've been through it many times, been to Arlington many times. And as I was watching all this, guys, as I was watching this play out, I thought, you know, if we keep taking down statues of great, great men, maybe men that we disagree with or disagree with some issue they had or some belief they had. The point is we keep destroying our heritage when we do that. And what a godly man Robert E. Lee was. And I'll just mention a couple things real quickly about him. When he surrendered to General Grant at Appomattox Courthouse, Virginia, the Union Army showed him and his men tremendous respect because they knew what a godly man he was. They allowed him to keep his sidearm. They allowed he and his men to keep their horses because they had to go back to farm, you know, back to their homes after the war was over. That was just unheard of at the time, but that was done out of respect for the godly you know, general that General Lee was. Also, the Union Army went through five commanding officers. President Lincoln went through five officers before commanding officers before he got to Grant, and finally, you know, stayed with him. The South kept one general the entire war, and that was Robert E. Lee. And of course, you guys are very well aware it wasn't just Lee; it was Stonewall Jackson, Jeb Stuart, all three Christian men, men of great character. And what disturbs me, guys, is if we keep, you know, attacking these men, and I think it's a plan to destroy our heritage and to destroy particularly the godly heritage that the nation has. And to me, that's the issue that not a lot of people have been talking about, and that disturbs me greatly.
Dan, one of the things that I wanted to make a point of and just maybe get your comment in the minute or so we have before the start of the break here is there's a great book called Christ in the Camp, subtitled Religion in Lee's Army, and it chronicles the incredible revival that occurred in the Army of Northern Virginia during the Civil War. It is estimated that some 200,000 young men from both North and South came to faith in Christ during the Civil War, which would mean this: one of the greatest revivals that ever occurred in U.S. history occurred during what we sometimes call that dark period of U.S. history, and General Lee was right in the center as a facilitator of all of that.
Absolutely.
Wow, guys, excellent, excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, be aware, there's a whole lot more. Be very careful getting on board this elimination of everything in the past that is unpleasant. Stay with us. When we're coming back, we're going to welcome in John Guandalo from Understanding the Threat, and we're going to talk about where do the Islamics fit into the anarchists there in Charlottesville. He's going to identify the players and what they're all about.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, the Charlottesville episode was deplorable. We know it. It's all over the news. We can't get away from it. But there's an awful lot of commentary that's being made that is sometimes misleading, and sometimes some parts of it are conspicuous almost by its absence. To see the Department of Justice jump in so quickly, use the word terrorism to describe the driver which drove his car into the crowd, kind of begs the question to some extent, and that is, why did it take so long when the Islamic jihadists have done so many things in this country for any word such as terrorism to be used and developed into this thing? The question is, who's really involved in that circumstance in Charlottesville? Who's a part of this larger issue? And there's nobody better to answer that question than John Guandalo, former FBI agent, now president of Understanding the Threat, which you can find that website at understandingthethreat.com. I want to ask him to come join us here right now. John, thanks for being with us on the program today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, John, I want you to answer a simple question here right now, that in the midst of all of what we're seeing as charges of bigotry, racism, division, deception, anarchy of all types, into that mix comes this whole concept of Islam ideology. Now, I haven't seen it in the news, although I have seen some things where CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, have actually condemned some of this as bigotry, which is interesting, when they themselves are tremendous bigots towards Jews, Christians, or anybody who doesn't go along with them. And I don't know if they fit in or they don't fit in. But I'd just like to ask you, John, from your perspective, understanding domestic terrorism and all of that kind of thing, lay out the players on the ground that we know to be involved in these, which I've seen numbers now indicating 40 different groups, 40 different names. Put these all together, arrange these players on the stage if you could, and mix into that any of this Islamic involvement, if in fact there is.
Well, thank you. I think, as always, you have approached the issue from the right perspective. So I'm grateful for that. First of all, I think for your listeners, it's important to lay out what is the red-green axis. What does that actually mean? Red, communist, socialist, Marxist. Green, Islam. the jihadist movement, the Islamic movement. The red-green axis is simply a term that Understanding the Threat uses and some of our colleagues use to describe the coming together, the cooperation between Marxist organizations who seek to overthrow the U.S. government and say so on their websites, and the Islamic movement, which seeks to overthrow the U.S. government and they say so in all their documents. And they're working together. So, for instance, when Understanding the Threat teaches or lays this out, as I'm doing now, but in a longer format, we show how you have, like, Nihad Awad, the leader of CARE, which is Hamas in the United States, who is also the leader of the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood and the most influential Muslim leader, in our professional opinion, here in the United States, and the other leaders defer to him. You have him on a national stage at the 2015 Muslim Brotherhood Conference, the Muslim American Society Islamic Circle of North America Conference in Chicago, Illinois, saying Black Lives Matter is our matter. Their campaign is our campaign. You have Hamas, people on the streets of New York, bringing in the Black Lives Matter leadership to say, hey, the NYPD, they're the occupiers just like the Israeli police are. Over there, they're occupying land. So they tie together in a information campaign the idea of there's an occupying force that needs to be pushed out. Those are both on the Islamic movement side and the Marxist movement side. They tie in the civil rights issues. They even tie in Martin Luther King and say that Muslims, as Khalila Sabra said at that same Muslim Brotherhood rally, when she called for a revolution in the United States like the one we saw in the Middle East, which was a violent revolution, she's standing on a Muslim Brotherhood stage calling for this. Well, the people she's addressing and the people that the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamic movement are working with are the hard left Marxists. So it's the Islamic movement working with the hard left Marxists. When we look at Charlotte, Ferguson, Baltimore on the ground with the Black Lives Matter and other numerous Marxist organizations, violent organizations, you see leaders of Hamas on the ground. Now, in the video, I did not see, because they're smarter than this, the any of the Islamic leaders, because they are not going to be right there in the middle of the violence usually. They're going to let the hard left do that. So the tie-in here in Charlottesville is years of work done by the Islamic Society of Central Virginia, which is a Muslim Brotherhood Hamas center, Islamic Society of Central Virginia, right there in Charlottesville, working with local leaders, working with the police, working with the hard-left Marxists. And so when this comes to town, this is not a random event that people just come out of their homes. This is funded by people like George Soros and Tides Foundation and others. This is supported by national and international hard left Marxist organizations. And the blueprint they're following on the hard left is Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky's manual for the Marxist revolution, specifically in the United States. So the tie-in isn't that there were jihadis there fomenting violence, although there could have been. I don't have any evidence of it. But it's that the entire movement that we're seeing all across the United States, when we see violence, these are groups that are absolutely at the ground level and at the national level working together. They're meeting together. They're discussing strategies. So that is that's the tie-in, is they're ideologically working together. Now, of course, the Islamic movement believes in the end they will kill all of these hard-left Marxists when they seize control and impose Sharia in the United States.
John, I was going to go right there and ask you about that, because that is obviously, we believe along with you, exactly where the Islamist would go. But let me ask you this. We are hearing increasing reports. In fact, there was a guy, I think, on Fox News last night, who one of the Fox News reporters, who said when everything started in Charlottesville, the police began pulling out, and he asked them, where are you going? And one of two answers was given. Either number one, we were told to stand down, and not deal with this brewing situation in Charlottesville, or it's getting too dangerous and so we're leaving. What do you know, if anything, about a possible order given by the governor, Terry McAuliffe, for law enforcement to stand down and actually let what ultimately happened in Charlottesville occur?
Well, I don't have any. I mean, I've talked to some of my Charlottesville contacts, and I don't have, I'm not willing to say that the governor ordered them to stand down, because I don't know that for a fact. And, you know, I'm not going to say it if I can't put my finger on it. What I do know is I think there were some very foolish decisions made. I think the fact that Antifa is, quite frankly, a terrorist group, and while repugnant and disgusting, you know, Nazis and whatever you want to call that, the group that was there, we have decided in this country that people can assemble and can spew their views, whether they're positive or negative. But to allow a terrorist group like Antifa to come in, knowing that there was going to be violence, I think that is where the major breakdown came. I think that was dangerous, foolish, and somebody needs to be held accountable for that.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, John. Let me ask you one last question before we have to let you go. And by the way, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Your insight is always beyond powerful. And today you're bringing components to the discussion that really no one else is talking about to any large degree. There is also some connection that I have seen in my research to a group called Change of Color. They're a George Soros-funded entity that was evidently, to some degree, on the ground in Charlottesville. They certainly took to social media and said, we are going to keep pushing for the removal of Confederate imagery, Confederate statues, Confederate symbols, until they're all taken away. Do you know anything about that whatsoever?
Yes. So the group is Color of Change. They're based out of Oakland, California. And the founders are Van Jones and James Rucker, who used to be a director of MoveOn.org, which is one of George Soros's major U.S. Organizations. Van Jones, obviously, being somebody that served under in the Obama administration. So you've got known hard left Marxists, and yes, they are pushing this. The one thing I really want to say, if you're a patriot and you have not read Rules for Radicals, in our Train the Trainer program at Understand the Threat, it is required reading before people show up, and then we spend a good several hours breaking it down, because you cannot understand the enemy strategy unless you understand that.
Friends, you've been listening to John Guandalo of Understanding the Threat. And friends, I would implore you to take his advice. In fact, John, we just discussed this yesterday, Sam and I did, about talking about Rules for Radicals on the program, because this is the document that is driving so much of what's going on. And we'll talk more about that later. John, thank you so much for being with us. And friends, when we come back, we're going to shift gears and talk a little bit about Obamacare. Our special guest is going to be Michael Gardner of MediShare. You're not going to want to miss this segment, because there is an answer to increasing health costs. And we're going to talk about that right after this brief timeout.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, we're going to change gears here, ladies and gentlemen, and from these heavy topics of Charlottesville and the implications to, well, what was a major issue kind of disappeared off of the stage somewhat, and that is Obamacare. But we know it hasn't left. It's not gone away. Matter of fact, Congress failed to repeal it, said they couldn't. Now the question is, what's going to happen? Major changes are taking place, and we just thought that since we have an expert on the line here with us right now, Michael Gardner, Director of Communications from MediShare, that we would just bring him into this discussion here right now. Give us an update, because while we're all consumed with what's happening on seeing on the news, we're also being affected daily by healthcare and the increasing costs it's bringing our way. And with that, I'd like to welcome in right now Michael Gardner, Director of Communications for MediShare, Christian Healthcare Sharing. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hello, thanks a lot. It's good to be with you again.
Well, it's great to have you on. Last time you were on with us, Michael, I told you afterwards, we got more information in, or let's put it this way, you got more information in a segment than often happens. So I want to get right to it and use your time to the maximum. Michael, let's go right off here right now. Congressional leaders went home. Mitch McConnell says it's not going to happen. It doesn't appear the Congress is going to do anything with Obamacare. The president was angry, appropriately so, in my opinion, and effectively said, all right, fine. Then this whole thing is just going to have to collapse, and then maybe Congress will do something about it. Well, in the meantime, you've got a lot of changes happening out there. So just sum up for us right now, with Obamacare not untouched, continuing to go forward, what is going to take place? What is happening? Because the burden, I think, is still falling down on so many people across the country with increased costs.
Well, you know, I mean, simply put, the Affordable Care Act is still the law of the land. And, you know, lots of people can debate the, you know, different aspects of that. It's really intended to try to provide options for people. And that's one of the good things for members of healthcare sharing ministries is that, fortunately, the Affordable Care Act recognizes healthcare sharing ministries. And it includes a provision for their members, you know, for members of organizations just like ours, like MediShare and other healthcare sharing ministries. So they're exempt from the financial penalties and they get access to a really great solution for their healthcare. So, you know, the Affordable Care Act is still the law. And fortunately, our members can be in compliance with it and still find a great solution for their healthcare.
Michael, with companies like Aetna pulling out of the exchange, does this ensure that what President Trump predicted to happen will happen, and that is that there's going to be a complete collapse of the healthcare system as it currently stands, and then Congress is going to have to step in and fix the financial debacle and headache that is going to be the result for millions of Americans? And if so, what realistically is going to happen?
Well, that's a big question. And you know, that's one that requires a lot of speculation. So, you know, I'll leave it to other people more qualified than me to predict what's going to happen. But you know, that's one of the things that I feel really fortunate to be part of this organization and this ministry is that our members don't have to speculate, right? They've already found a great affordable compliant solution. And so I suppose it's open to debate to what's gonna happen in the big picture. Our members have been sharing with each other since 1993, and they're gonna continue to do so. So we found a solution and our members have found a solution. We're just hoping to share that message with other people so that they understand there is an option that looks different from anything else that's out there.
Well, Michael, you probably answered that question the best. Why speculate? But you only know, this we do know, Michael, wouldn't you agree that the direction that things are going are not going to be naturally improving? They're degrading. But within that is the provision under law to allow for programs like MediShare, Christian healthcare sharing, which is protected under the law, and I would have to think, Michael, becomes a greater safe haven, if you can put it that way, all along for increasing numbers of people across the country. Now, again, how many people are MediShare serving right now? How many families? What's the approximate savings that a family would have if they are a part of MediShare versus something else? Just go that direction here first, if you could.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your earlier question was a really good one too, and I think oftentimes we probably sound a little bit less concerned about some of these changes because we already have a really good option. So right now there are 300,000 plus MediShare members all across the country. You know, the average family pays about $350 a month for their MediShare membership. And, you know, anecdotally, when we're out meeting people, you know, around town here, or if we're out at church conventions and that kind of thing, you know, the average numbers from people seem to be that, you know, that we run into members, they're saying, you know, you help me save $500, $600, $800 a month over what I would have paid before. And so there's really significant savings to be had there as well for people.
Well, yeah, that's great. And Dave, before you jump in, let me ask you one more question, if I could, Michael. Mm-hmm. If somebody calls right now, if somebody's listening, and we carry the number here on our program, if that number is 844-45-BIBLE. So if any of you are listening to the program and you say, hey, I don't know about MediShare, or I'm paying $800 or $1,000 or more for my insurance right now, but I can actually save $500, I think I ought to look at that, and you call 844 5 Bible, B-I-B-L-E, you will connect with MediShare, the organization that Michael's talking about. Michael, just briefly, if somebody contacts that number and they talk to MediShare, what's going to happen on the other end of that line? Somebody going to be there to answer the question? Just a little bit of what people can expect when they call that number.
Sure, absolutely. No, we have folks here all day long who can talk to people about what MediShare is, what it looks like. You know, a lot of times those conversations, the frequent questions we get are, well, explain to me exactly what this thing is and how it works, because it's different from insurance. It's not insurance, and we try to make it really clear that we're a sharing program, and so what MediShare really does is to connect people with other people in the body of Christ to lift their healthcare burdens. And so that's one of the questions that we frequently get is, what is this and how it works? And we're happy to explain how that sharing works. What does it mean to have direct member-to-member sharing? Because that's truly how our program works. I share directly with other people in the program, and I know with whom I'm sharing. So we'll explain what that looks like. The other question people always have is, what's the cost going to be for my family and what's it look like? We're certainly always happy to answer those questions. And then, intricacies of about exactly how does this work for my family. People always have questions about pre-existing conditions, what if scenarios, what if I get cancer, what if I have a heart attack. And so we're able to explain to people that we've absolutely had members with those types of needs and more. We've had, I think, two individual needs that I know of in the last 2 years that exceeded $1 million each. I believe both of those were for babies that were born that needed neonatal intensive care. But we've had members with stage 4 cancer. And the great stories we hear from folks like that is about the fact that their family and their community came together in prayer for them, and they were healed. We have a gentleman's testimony on our website, actually, who talks about that, had stage 4 cancer and is now cancer-free. So we've had members with very extensive needs, cancer, heart surgeries, organ transplants, and we can walk through, those more dramatic situations, but also what does this look like on a day-to-day basis for somebody that's in the program?
Michael, you were reading my mind, because I was going to ask you about some of the very things you just addressed, and Sam's right. You get more in one segment than just about anybody we have ever had on the program. But let me ask you this, just to go back in the couple of minutes or so that we have to the end of this segment, but could you explain again the biblical basis? Because that is what's so exciting to me. You're talking about not only health care, but we're also talking about a spiritual component that is part of MediShare, which to us is incredibly exciting and should be exciting to anyone out there that is a believer in Jesus Christ. So talk a little bit about the biblical basis that brought about MediShare.
Absolutely. Well, this program was actually started in 1993 by a couple people in a garage. And, one of the families had a medical need, and they came together to share in that need. And so that was kind of the birth of this organization. Our founder's son actually still works here today. And we'll tell stories about, licking stamps in the garage as they were mailing stuff out, way back when. But the idea of sharing, is thousands of years old, and it's in action today. And MediShare members are the ones who make that happen. We're based upon, the idea. We take our inspiration from the book of Acts, where we read about the early church and believers coming together in fellowship and worshiping, and their needs were met. And that's what you see in MediShare today, is that people's needs get met to the tune of, we're talking about medical bills, to the tune of, more than $1 billion over the program's history. But absolutely, it's biblically based, and I want people to understand that prayer is just as much a component of this as is medical care, right? So it's amazing to walk through the ministry and hear people on the phones with members praying with them on the phone. And it's something that we hear about time and time again from our members, is how much that means.
Michael, that's just great, great, great information. And let's just go beyond that. We've talked about families. You've talked about serious conditions. You've talked about having babies. So obviously young families. This is good for young families as well as older families. How about small businesses with numbers of employees? Do you have small businesses that are actually perhaps being a part of this program somehow?
We do, absolutely. Sure. The program functions pretty much the same in those types of scenarios as it does for family memberships. But we're certainly able to work with small businesses or churches. That's actually one of the groups that seems most interested right now is, a lot of churches are saying, we really wish we could grow more, but our healthcare costs are so extensive that it's hard to do that. And so we're able to work with them to provide a solution as well for their staff.
Fantastic. Michael Gardner, Director of Communications for MediShare. Ladies and gentlemen, call 844-4 844-45-BIBLE, B-I-B-L-E, 844-45-BIBLE. And you can find out more about MediShare, a great, great alternative to the needs of healthcare today. Michael, thanks for being with us today on the program.
Oh, you're welcome. It's good to talk to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay with us as we come back into the last segment, solution segment, as we try to wrap this up and say, what do we do and where do we go from here on these issues?
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, we welcome you back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is our solution segment, we call it, and we are very much interested in solutions, and that will set this program apart from many of the other talk shows that you listen to, because they are very great at detailing the problem, but not so much good at giving a solution. We are solution-oriented here at Stand in the Gap Today, and so we want to go to discuss a solution to what we've talked about today. There have been many comments from a lot of people on this matter that has arisen out of Charlottesville, Virginia. The divide in our country is, of course, being fueled by the left, which embraces the very strategy of division and anarchy and ultimate lawlessness. Well, friends, we want you to understand our nation cannot be saved unless the focus of our discussions go to the core of the problem and then from there to a solution. Now, we know some don't want a solution. They will make their living off of continuing the division in our country. But for those of us who do want a solution, we must agree on some basic truths, and we must do it and do it quickly. Yesterday, in response to what happened in Charlottesville, Sam Rohr, the president of the American Pastors Network, issued a statement, which I want to read to you. Before I do that, I want to say this. This very statement was sent to everyone on our email list. And if you're not currently on that list, I would love to encourage you to go to standinthegapradio.com. Standinthegapradio.com. From there, you can sign up, and then you can begin receiving these periodic updates that come from the American Pastors Network. And yesterday's comments from Sam addressing the Charlottesville situation were very, very powerful. Let me read to you a portion of what he said. The deplorable circumstances in Charlottesville should indeed get the attention of all Americans. Yet, in the midst of this event for which both sides share blame, these questions must not be overlooked. What has happened in America to produce such increasing hostilities and anger among our people? And can unity be achieved just because our leaders are demanding it? In reality, we didn't get to this place by accident nor overnight. The rejection of moral truth healing, and transformative power of redemption and forgiveness available only through Jesus Christ is where it started. The coarsening of society is assured where life in the womb is cavalierly discarded, where God's plan for the family and human sexuality is jettisoned, where a selfless others focus is replaced with a selfish only focus, and where duty is replaced with rights. Such is the situation today. Is unity achievable? The answer is yes. But for some, even this statement may be dividing. Yet it is nonetheless the truth. Here's the statement, by the way. Unity is not the goal, but a byproduct. Unity never demands full agreement in all things by all people. Yet what unity does demand is an agreement on a common body of truth. In the United States, that common body of truth was found in the Judeo-Christian scriptures, where there is God who created life and then endowed certain unalienable rights to the people who under God agree with God that he is perfect, that mankind is sinful and not naturally good. Any nation or people who believes these things can experience peace, security, and unity. Our nation once did, not ever perfect, of course, but overwhelmingly embraced this view, and God blessed it as no nation ever before it. We will now, in this time in increasing need, either look to God and agree with him and do what he says and regain our freedom we so love, or we will look to ourselves, to government, or to some man or woman and descend into the abyss of slavery and totalitarianism. There is no other choice. End quote. Wow, friends, powerful, powerful statement. And by the way, that went out to media outlets all across the United States and really says what needs to be said. Dad, I want to go to you. You are a historian. You've taught history, government economics for now going on 34 years. You have seen from studying the past what America was. You have been an eyewitness of what America is becoming. And Dan, I know you know what the Word of God has to say that Sam so eloquently put into that statement released yesterday. You know what it's going to take to get us back to what America should be. I'd love to have your comments at this point.
There's not a whole lot else I feel I can say. Sam's statement was tremendous. But I did think of something as I was listening to that statement, Dave. You know, I was listening to Dr. Tony Evans recently, and he made a statement about, you know, so many people today are pursuing happiness apart from holiness. Happiness is a byproduct of holiness, and if you pursue happiness apart from holiness, you lose both. And that's kind of what Sam was saying as far as the solution for our country. If we pursue unity apart from God, we lose both. But if you pursue God, you can have unity. And Dave, at the end of the Civil War, since that's been part of our discussion today, the country was brought back together. Yes, it took time. You know, the period of reconstruction this country, you know, took to 1877 and, you know, officially ended in 1877. But it took time to bring the country back together, and it's still healing. But it is possible with the help of Almighty God and men pursuing him, pursuing holiness first, and then unity will follow. So I couldn't agree more with what Sam said.
Dan, let me ask you this, because coming out of the Civil War, the Reconstruction, and so on, it demanded strong leadership through the Civil War, and I think we had that strong leadership in the person of Abraham Lincoln. Coming out of the Civil War, going into the Reconstruction period, obviously it took what I'm just going to call spirit-filled men, men who at least acknowledged God and his role and the need of his wisdom. Talk a little bit, if you would, Dan, in just a couple of minutes before we have to go to the end of the program, about the kind of leadership that we need, not just in Washington, D.C. politically, but the kind of leadership we need in the pulpits to get us through this time of deep divide in our country.
Well, I'll say this, Dave. Today, it's interesting. I was just watching here as I was listening to you guys talk. I'm kind of doing double duty here, watching a little bit of coverage about the Alabama special election today. We need men like Roy Moore in Alabama who are willing to stand for truth at the risk of losing their job. And not just men like him, but men in the pulpit who are willing to stand and preach truth, even though it may offend some people, it may lower amount of tithe money given, whatever. We need men, as we have had down through the years in our country, who have done those very things. we need that kind of leadership if America's going to triumph. Bold leadership. Dave and Sam, we're in an era in America like I've never seen, and I'm sure you guys have never seen either. This is uncharted waters. But leadership by men who love God and pursue holiness with all their being, we can see this country turn around. I believe that with all my heart.
Well, Dan, last week at a youth camp in Washington State, I took the morning sessions and preached from the book of Daniel on being counted among the courageous. And I think what you're saying is we need courageous men of God in the pulpits. We need courageous men of God that serve in the political arena. And the two together, courageous standing for truth is the answer. And also petitioning the God of heaven for his wisdom. Dan, we always try to exit the program, as you well know, by going to the Lord in prayer. And I think, boy, today, no more appropriate time than to petition God for the kind of wisdom and courage that we've been talking about to see us through these difficult days. And I would love for you to take us to God's throne in prayer.
Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being on the program today. Lord, for the opportunity to present truth. Lord, your truth, and I pray, God, that you would bless our country, guide our country. Lord, give us men of wisdom, men of courage, and Lord, I pray that you would show us mercy and turn our country, Lord, back to thee. And Lord, we will be careful to give you all the glory and praise. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Dan, thank you so much for being aboard. John Guandolo, Michael Gardner, our special guest today. And friends, 23 hours from now will be our next installment into the Search for Truth. Hope you'll join us, and until then, stand up for truth where you are, and do it courageously. These are amazing days to be alive and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you tomorrow.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.